even though I don't know too much about her, I've heard a lot of wonderful things about her, and I look forward to listening to her message. So with that, I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Angel A., from the Chapter 9 group of Narcotics Anonymous in the Beaver Valley area of N.A.
They're taping it. I want to make sure it sounds like there's a whole lot of people here. Hi, everyone. I'm an addict. My name's Angel. I just want to first off thank the committee for asking me to share this weekend. This is my absolute favorite retreat that I go to, and glad to see it doing so well. And I want to thank those of you that just sat through the other meeting that were willing to come back and sit through another one. This, I think, is the third topic that they actually asked me to speak on. They kept switching my times around, and I said to my girlfriend an hour or so ago, I said, you know, I'm speaking on how it works, and I didn't even, like, read any literature or try to study or do anything. And she looked at me and she said, well, Angel, you know how it works. And today I'm able to look at her, and after I said thank you, I said, you know what, you're right, yes, I do. I'll start by telling you that I've been clean a little over 12 years now. And in the same breath, I better be able to say I know how it works. I can tell you that I found out how it worked by spending the first couple years of my recovery practicing how it doesn't work. And that's pretty much the story of my life. I learn through my own experience. I have never, ever, still to this day, been one that was able to watch you go through something and be able to not do it myself later if it wasn't something good. I still have that addict mind, that addict thinking that, well, it'll be different for me. So when I say the first couple years of my recovery, I learned how it didn't work. I was introduced to this program a little over 14 years ago, and didn't come stumbling in here, like it says in our basic text, you know, brimming with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I wasn't excited about getting clean. I didn't even use the word clean. I didn't know anybody that had ever stopped using drugs and stayed stopped. Even my friends that were imprisoned by that point, you know, I was one of the ones that was taking shit down to them, you know, when they were behind the wall. So even going to jail didn't mean you had to get clean to me. And or more importantly, didn't mean you could get clean. And I used to say that I didn't come here for any of the right reasons, but today I firmly believe there are no wrong reasons to come to Narcotics Anonymous. I am one of those people that I brought the body around long enough and the head eventually rolled in. Not without using with almost a couple years clean. And I'll tell you why I used. Because I wasn't practicing how it works. I was practicing ego. I got involved in the public information subcommittee. I got involved in my home group. I got involved sponsoring women. And I did all of that to be in the limelight, to be noticed, to be recognized, so that I could say, oh, everybody look at me and look what I'm doing, look how good I'm doing. And I can't say that I consciously did that at the time. I don't even believe that I was capable of identifying a feeling for quite a while in recovery. All I know is that I wasn't focused on what can I do for you and what can I do for this fellowship and what can I do for the addict that still suffers. I was focused on what can I get? What can you guys give me? And like Tony was just sharing before, it was all about feeling better. For me, it wasn't even about feeling good because I hadn't felt good for so long. It was about feeling better and trying not to feel so bad. And so I was very, very involved in the fellowship. And I can honestly say I was involved in the fellowship and I wasn't very involved in the program. And to me, there's a big difference. A big difference. The fellowship that I'm involved in today acts the exact same way inside a meeting as they do outside a meeting. The fellowship I was involved in back then, including myself, was all about spouting from the basic text, saying what I thought you wanted to hear, saying what I thought would make me sound good, saying what I thought would have you come up to me after a meeting and say, girl, you got it going on. Thanks. But none of it was coming from here. Listen, this program is made up of some of the most intellectual, some of the most artistic, some of the most intelligent people I have ever known in my life. I came in here and I learned quickly, like I did out on the streets, what it is I needed to say and do to fit in. It wasn't until May 19th of 1990, I found myself in a spot that it says in our basic text that we will back ourselves into, that there is no way out but to use. And how I found myself there was I had stopped going to meetings. It was 12 days since my last meeting, and from that point it was 19 days before then, and then it was, 2 weeks before then, and my meditation books, we didn't have the Just for Today back then, but my meditation books, the marker was a month behind. I couldn't tell you the last time I talked to my sponsor, worked on a step, reached out to those that were still suffering, and I found myself high. Those of you that have done it, and those of you that tried to tell me before I did it, it's really, really hard to have a head full of NA and a body full of chemicals. The very first thing Narcotics Anonymous did for me was ruin my high. And I'm forever grateful for that, actually. So May 20th, I was supposed to speak at Avery Street, which is a Sunday night meeting on the north side, which back then was a very, very big, very well-attended meeting, and it was a very prestigious, very egotistic thing for me. I'm not going to say that it wasn't. I was prancing around for weeks telling everybody, acting like I was scared. I actually was scared to speak there, but I was more egotistical than I was scared. I was playing that I was scared so I could get your sympathy. But I'm telling everybody, I got to speak at Avery Street, you know, Sunday, and trying to gather everybody up to come and hear my wonderful message. And I came too on May 20th, that Sunday, and the very first thing I thought was, oh shit, I gotta go speak tonight. And I heard myself. Thank God. And I said, Ange, you're gonna get up there and tell these people you have almost 2 years clean and you're still loaded. So I called my sponsor because that was the other thing that Narcotics Anonymous had done for me. In spite of myself, I had been accustomed to doing certain things. When I first got clean, I was so afraid not to do what you told me to do that I got a sponsor right out of treatment. Didn't know this woman from anybody, but I knew that she had brought a meeting in through H&I, which was my first exposure to Narcotics Anonymous. And I knew that she claimed to know how it worked. And I don't know that I wanted to know how it worked, but I did want to know how to not live the way I was living anymore. And she told me, call me every day. And I would call her every day, and I would say, you know what, I feel like using. And she'd say, okay, honey, well, listen, can you meet me at the Baden meeting tonight at 6 o'clock? We'll talk about it then. Can you make it till then? Don't pick up till then. We'll talk about it then. And afterwards, if you want to get high, you can get high. And I'd say, sure, I can do that. And I'd meet her at the meeting. And we would talk about it, or maybe not talk about it, but I was at a meeting, and all of a sudden I'm out at Eaton Park with everybody else, and it's late at night, and I don't think about getting high anymore, and I go home and I go to bed. Next morning I'd wake up in a car, you know what, I want to get high. She'd say, okay, baby, can you make it till, you know, Aliquippa tonight, 8 o'clock. Can you not pick up just for today? Meet me down at the meeting. We'll talk about it. If you still feel like getting high after the meeting. She did this for like 2 weeks before I figured out what the hell she was doing. She was teaching me by example how it works. So I called my sponsor on May the 20th of 1990, and I immediately started crying when she answered the phone, and she said, baby, did you use? And I said, yes, I did. And she said, you stay right there, I'll be right over. And that's what I'm talking about. The fellowship that I belong to are the people that will do the same thing outside of a meeting that they will do inside of a meeting. So she came over and she sat with me, and she took me down to that meeting that was overwhelming and suggested that I go to the gentleman that had asked me to speak, and I told him that I couldn't speak because I had used, and I got up for a one-day key tag. And I remember getting my first one-day key tag in June of 1988 down at the Double Bubble in the Beaver Valley. And I remember walking through the crowd, sprinting through the crowd, ecstatic, and I couldn't wait, and people cheering and hugging. And this experience, not almost 2 years later, the aisle from where I was sitting to the person that was handing out the key tags seemed like it was 40 miles long. And people were cheering, and people were clapping, and people were ecstatic. And I felt worse than I ever had in my whole entire life. And by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I had used exactly half of my life. I was 24 years old, and I started using when I was 12. And when I tell you that I had felt horrible before, but never, ever did I feel the shame and the humility and the degradation. See, because now I knew better. Now I had a choice. And I chose to use because I was practicing how it didn't work. A couple days later, I found out that I was pregnant. See, I had hooked up with this guy in a fellowship, and he and I were dating for about a year and a half, and he ended up telling me about 3 or 4 months before that he was still having a glass of wine here and there, and he wasn't changing his clean date, and he wasn't talking about it in meetings, because wine wasn't a drug to him. And that's who I ended up using with that night. Go figure, right? Well, when I use, all bets are off. And I do things that compound the guilt and the shame and the remorse and the degradation that I'm feeling already. So I didn't know whose baby I was carrying. And it would have been very, very easy for me to just go to him and say, hey, babe, you know what? We're pregnant. But guess what? I wanted to get clean. And I know that the only way to do that, three that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And this time, I had to be willing to do whatever it took. So I got honest. And the next year of my life was harder than the first year. I stand here with the experience of been totally believing that it is so much easier to stay clean than it is to get clean, especially after you've been clean for a while. I remember asking my sponsor when she picked up the 10-year tag, I said to her, how do you do that? She said, honey, I don't have any secrets, but my life is an open book. I'm here to tell you today, and the girls that I sponsor and my sponsor will tell you, I have no secrets. But guess what? Because of believing how it works, practicing these 24 principles. There's 24. There's 12 steps, but there's 12 traditions. And I can't live my life without a single one of them. Knowing what I know today and practicing what I practice today, I don't have anything in my life I need to keep secret. That's the amazing part. I am you know, when Tony was just sharing about not being powerless over his thoughts, I never really thought about it the way I did after he said that, and the fact that, you know, my actions pretty much dictate my thoughts. And when I'm living right and I'm doing the next right thing and I'm practicing how it works, and how it works for me is not just the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, although they're very top of my list on how it works, but it's also giving up my time when I don't want to. It's not ever saying no to Narcotics Anonymous, no matter what. It's about going with a couple girls to another woman's house at 3 o'clock in the morning when she's called and she's loaded and she wants help, when I really would rather stay in bed. It's about getting my ass up out of my chair and greeting every single person that walks through the door of my home group, especially when I'm having a miserable day. It's about not yelling at the lady behind the deli counter if she gets my order wrong. It's about not flipping somebody off if they cut me off on the highway. Although that one I'm not real good at yet. I'm working on it. I wait till they can't see me, at least today. It's about saying to my children, "Baby, what's wrong?" instead of, "What's wrong with you?" Even when I want to throw them through a wall. It's about coming to meetings and telling me I want to throw my kids through a wall sometime and not acting like, you know, I have this much time clean now, I should be better than that. I'm not. Believe you me, there are some people in this program with 30 days clean that have what I want. You guys all getting rained on. Okay, no one's allowed to leave. I'll say your name out loud on the tape. Yeah. But so my thoughts today, and I'm not saying that, you know, thank God I'm not guilty for my first thought. You guys taught me that. But thank God I don't have to act on it either. But the amazing part today is, I'd say 80% of the time, my first thought is the right one. It's the spiritual one. It's the healthy one. You know, just like I was programmed a certain way for the first half of my life, I've been programmed a different way for this part of it. And as long as I don't stray too far from the program, my mind doesn't get too far from the program. The program doesn't get too far from me. How it works is, you know, 100 addicts in the middle of the woods. That aren't standing on the corners tonight. That aren't sticking the little old ladies up. That aren't bashing people's face off a Mac machine. How it works is very simply, a minute at a time, an hour at a time, a day at a time, and trying my very, very best to do the next right thing. And you know, my whole life I knew the difference between right and wrong. I wasn't some kid that wasn't taught morals and values and principles, because those were handed to me freely when I was growing up. Today, because of Narcotics Anonymous, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, how it works, I'm able to practice them. I'm able to live them. I'm able to share them. And I'm able to receive them. You know, and I'll tell you, if you're new, if you want to know how it works, keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Next speaker, I've had the privilege of meeting today. And I've heard a lot of good things about him. I look forward to his message. I would like to introduce the second speaker, Lance S. from the Together We Can group of NA in the South Hills area of NA.
I'm Lance. I'm an addict.
Again. To tell you the truth, I was hoping it was going to start pouring down rain.
This is my least favorite thing to do, and but I can relate to what Angel was saying earlier. I really haven't thought much about the topic, and when I did start thinking about the topic, I would get all jammed up, and I guess. I should thank the Laurel Mountain Highlands area Narcotics Anonymous for asking me to do this tonight, because this is truly an honor. When I was out there using, not too many people were happy to see me come around in the end. So someone see me tonight, ask me to say something in front of a microphone, especially, it's definitely an honor. Jeez. Probably anything I'm going to say tonight isn't from me, you know, and I really believe that today, that this has been handed down to me from addicts before, and I really believe that's how it works. I'm just another part of the lineage of a message that has saved countless of people's lives, and that is a power greater than myself. The question is, what do I do with it once I got it? I believe that's a big part of how this works for me. Because, like Angel was saying, I didn't come in here, you know, brimming with love and joy and went and hugged and that kind of stuff. Although I did want to get fucked. You know, that was a big motivator at first. And that probably kept me coming to Narcotics Anonymous in the beginning, about 1986, somewhere in there, more than anything. And it was in a little town called Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And of course, all my motives were for the wrong reasons, exactly how it doesn't work. And I did all the classic stuff, you know, the stuff I believe we do. I took your inventory, found something wrong with everybody in the room, and, you know, continued to say I was going to a meeting that night, but I was going out to my favorite watering holes, and eventually, you know, I picked up my favorite drug of choice. You know, sooner or later, someone was asking me to go out, do a few lines, smoke a doobie or whatever, and was off to the races again. And I agree. I'd like to say NA ruined my high, but I think what really happened is it destroyed the illusion of the high. You know, and that's what really stuck in my mind when I finally grasped the first step in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, when my sponsor told me that. That it wasn't the stuff on the table, it was that funny-looking thing between my ears that was the problem. And the fact is that that I have a disease that skews my perceptions of reality. I really believe if the gang was saying this ground glass is great stuff, I would have been copping a buzz on the ground glass. You know? And Tony, the opening speaker was sharing earlier about not being able to get high anymore. That's where I was too. At the end of my relapse, nothing was working anymore. Mass quantities. It's really strange getting reaching your bottom in the mountains because. This is where my bottom was. I would find myself in a vehicle on a tram road in the middle of the woods, getting loaded by myself, and thinking somebody's in the woods getting ready to bust me. Yeah, I wasn't pulling curtains back, geek, and I was looking out of my rear view mirror and side mirrors in the woods, thinking somebody's sneaking up in the car to arrest me. Out of the middle of nowhere. But it's the same kind of stuff. It's the same kind of stuff, and the same price. The same price. You know, I was alone. Nothing worked anymore, and suicide looked like a step up. Death looked like a step up from where I was. So, for me, there was a series of events which led to me driving myself to my second rehab and so forth. But I think the real awakening was when I came back home, which was around the holidays, 1988. My clean date was October 28th, 1988. And I never heard of Narcotics Anonymous except for, the couple meetings in Johnstown. And I went in to see my parents because I wanted to make an amends. I was about a month out of rehab. It was around Thanksgiving, and I was going to make this amends to my mom. I had this burning desire to tell the world I was sorry, even though I think it was more for my own gratification than anybody else. Exactly what it was. And I went there, and my parents were away, so I felt like getting high, and I remember a counselor, an addict in recovery, Tom M., talked about opening the phone book when he found his running mate dead from an overdose in Oakland, and he wanted to cop, and he looked down this phone book for this guy named Narcisse, and Narcotics Anonymous was in that row of names. And he called that instead. So I went to the helpline. I went to the helpline and called Narcotics Anonymous. I think we're going to get rained out. And I went to an NA meeting on Route 51 of Brownsville Road called Better Change. And I found a home. I found Narcotics Anonymous. And it was a dysfunctional home group. The treasurer was stealing the money. Two people were screwing each other, and we had a guy that was I think the area representative at that time, which was a brand new area of the South Hills at the time, and he was a sociopathic liar. And I felt right at home. I felt right at home, honest to God. And so the six of us. That became my home group. And how it worked for me was I really realized that I needed to get a sponsor. I couldn't do this by myself, so I started doing those suggestions. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. And one of them was I had a home group, and now I had to muster the courage to get a sponsor. And I used to go to the Beachview group, which is no longer there. I think the church burned down or something. But we almost burned it down. They threw us out, one or the other. There used to be these two gentlemen that would always do the beginners group that I would go to. And it took me 3 months. I had about 3 or 4 months clean to muster up enough courage to ask them. And I said, okay, tonight's the night. The first one I see when I walk in the door, I'm going to ask him to be my sponsor. And when I did that, neither one of them was there that night. I finally worked up enough courage to do that. And so it took me another month and a half to ask him. I saw him every week after that, and I couldn't ask him. Needless to say, one night I got up the courage, and the gentleman asked me, my sponsor, still my sponsor today. I haven't had a need to change him. But he taught me how it works, you know, and it's just, like I said in the beginning, it's the lineage here. And I agree with what Angel was saying. Everything in the beginning, you know, I took what I used to do to get high, and I used it here in the meeting, you know. I used to cop it.